Hello, everybody. Welcome to podcast number 8, I believe. We have some very special guests. We have Dan, who is the owner of Auto APR, and then also Hassam. And Hassam, what is your role again? I'm sorry.
I'm the regional director of
Regional
sales.
Director of Auto APR. So for anybody out there that doesn't know what Auto APR is, I'm going to obviously let our distinguished guests explain it, but it is a digital retailing tool that we have on our website. And so a lot of our customers definitely take advantage of what it has to offer. But welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us. We're
Yeah.
glad to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming. So Dan, we'll start off with you, I guess. Why don't you tell us maybe a little bit about your background and kind of how everything came to be?
Absolutely. So my background's purely automotive. I'm right out of college. I started selling cars. I've always had a passion for cars. In fact, I'm one of those, as a kid, I was obsessed with cars, with the car dealerships. My parents dragged me to car dealerships to look at cars. I've always been a car guy, I guess,
Yeah.
since like birth.
And so this was when you were looking to buy one or just like in general?
No, in general, I mean, I remember being 8 years old and my parents, driving to the local dealerships to show me the cars.
Wow,
And they didn't
guys.
even like cars. I
Yeah.
loved them. I was just always talking about them. So
That's hilarious. So you were like, yeah, screw Toys R Us. Take me to the
going to
local
the
dealer.
show.
That's awesome.
So I always kind of had a passion for it. And then coming out of college, I decided, as a part-time job, I would sell cars. As I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. My background was in finance. I had two finance degrees from the University of South Carolina. And I came out of college in 2010. So right around the kind of the, when things were kind of still bad, right,
Sure.
from the recession. And I was like, I'll figure out what I want to do. I'll sell cars part-time. I know cars, know everything about them. I love them. I always kind of wanted to sell cars, but never really thought about the car business. Well, I quickly learned you can't sell cars part-time. So,
Right.
they hired me. Oh yeah, part-time, that's fine. Yeah, well, part-time for me was like 60 hours. So I didn't do really well at first. I learned a lot probably those first 6 months. But what I did learn quickly is how the car business is really such a great career.
Yeah.
And I saw a younger guy that worked at the dealership I was at as a finance manager, and he was only a few years older than I was, and I knew he did pretty well.
Yeah.
He got the dress sharp. He was inside. I'm outside sweating on the lot,
Got
and
a nice car, I'm sure.
yeah, he had a demo. He had the
Yeah.
tie, the whole deal. I was
Yeah.
like, what? I can do this. So I did some research and found an automotive group I could grow with, and I transferred over. I left the store I was at, went to another dealership, and sold cars there for a little bit. My goal was to get an F&I. They gave me a shot, and I did really well in F&I. I was never great at selling cars, but
Yeah.
finance clicked for me, and that kind of was my gateway into moving up in the industry. And the entire time, my ambition was to own a dealership, and I knew it'd be hard. I knew it'd kind of be a struggle, and but I'm still making good headway. And my kind of my last stop was I was essentially a GM in training for a what I call a destination location. So I worked at a dealership, actually two, as a GSM, two Highline stores that were in between two cities.
Okay.
And majority of our business was we had to pull them in from. And so my focus was on I was on website and VDC.
Right.
So in fact, when I started that job, we had really kind of crummy photos. VDC was like one person scheduling oil changes and then maybe scheduling an appointment to come in the showroom. Quickly turned that around. But as we started driving more traffic and better inventory, the fundamentals, what we found, we had a big friction point with the engagements, right? So I had to price my vehicles as a Sherwood Trucks Only does. You have to price your vehicles really aggressive to
Sure.
get people to
Engage, see
engage.
online.
Absolutely. I mean,
Yeah.
you're competing with everybody, right? And I'm competing with I had people shopping me from 100 miles away,
Right.
so I had to have the best price. Well, guess what my biggest engagement button was on my website? E plus.
Right. I was going to say,
Bet,
get
get
E
better
price for
price, get
right.
better price. So people
Yeah.
are clicking this, wanting a better price, but they already found me on price.
Right.
Like natural friction point.
Sure.
Not good for the customer, not good for the dealership.
Yeah.
It was just butt heads at hello. So what ended up happening is, I could only do so much BDC training and get over those objections. And obviously I'm trying to think, okay, we got to fix this. What do we do? what I started doing was just taking TOs. Mm-hmm. You know, the BDC would have the price objection, or someone's really hung up on what's the best price. And I would take that TO over the phone. And, you know, the things I started talking about was everything but price. Payment, trade, you know, where do you live? All of these things, everything but price.
Right.
These are really came down at the end of the day. You knew if someone with the hot button was trade. You knew if the hot button was payment.
Sure.
Generally, because how, you know, used cars are priced, it's not price. They already know it, right? If you're far off, you never got the click anyways.
Right.
You know? That was kind of, and then a light bulb went off in my head. I said, okay, I can't do 100 phone calls a day. You know, raise cars, pencil deals, and be a BDC rep all at once. So how can we do this digitally?
Yeah.
So
and what year was this? Just curious.
2013. Actually, 2013 to 2014 is kind of when the wheels started turning. Auto APR was founded late 2014.
So that's, I mean, around that time, I'm sure was a big boom for digital in the auto industry. I mean, obviously before, but really, you know, when people were starting to think this is the digital showroom of the future, aside from, you know, eyes driving by on the road, et cetera.
You're exactly right. In fact, that was, you know, that was the time where market-based pricing really got attention, you know, where dealers were really starting to figure out, okay, you know, I'm not going to put my second best price in the line. And that's what I brought to that store was just that philosophy of that. They'd already been doing it, but I really drove it home with my salespeople. Like, hey, look, this is, let's tell our customers up front how we price our vehicles.
Right.
And that trend really started to spread fast. You know, your more traditional dealers that wanted to set up the negotiator felt the customers did were starting to convert over. Okay, yeah, we can't advertise our second best price.
Right, right. Makes sense. So that's kind of, so you're starting to think, you know, at this time, we need some kind of online tool that can bring people in and you know, get the information to the customer in their hands and give them the buying power, et cetera. How was that kind of, you know, the tool itself or the software itself, how was it born?
So in addition to the, you know, price, that, you know, that's kind of the, from the dealer side, you know, the dealer is knowing that to better take care of their customer, to sell more cars and be more competitive at best price. But to answer your question of how it's born, it's actually, it was born based off of what customers want. Mm-hmm. You know, for years, you know, people knew they could go to KellyBlueBook.com and get a trade value. Everyone knew it, right? That was pretty easy. But where as a consumer can you get payment information or interest rate information? I mean, we all know financing a car is kind of complex. You know, there's, you know, you have a trade-in, you owe money on the trade, you know, how, what's the payoff in relation to what the car's worth? You have the complications of everybody's credit situation is a little different, right? So one customer that might qualify for 4%, while another customer might qualify for 7. One customer might qualify for 72 months. They might qualify for 75. A lot of variables, right? So if you think about it from the consumer standpoint, there's a lot of unknown. And the more informed the customer is, the better experience they have and the more likely they are to buy a vehicle. So if you get a customer to your website and they like what you have, you have the car price right, you have great Google reviews, okay, the whole deal, all those things that make a big difference. And they say, okay, well, I like this truck, but, you know, I'm obviously not going to spend $50,000 cash. I owe some money on my vehicle. What do? They leave that dealer's website and they go and they try to find this information on their own. And what customers quickly find out is that it's hard to actually find interest rate payment information online. They go to Google, they do 3 or 4 searches. They're not getting far, but you know what's happening is they're getting hit with somebody else's ads.
Sure.
Right.
So they're drawn to someone else. So kind of the idea was born, bringing it in holistically into one tool. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
in one place,
in one place where the consumers aren't bouncing off, going to other sites and they can get trade-in information, they can figure out what their buying power is to see what they qualify for, et cetera. And just kind of, that's the idea of how it was born.
Absolutely. Give your customer all the resources they need right from your website. Mm-hmm. Because reality is, they're going to try to get that information somewhere else, but why not offer it you know, to them right from your site, provide a better experience. And,
yeah.
And also, you know, that information that a customer provides helps you take better care of them. Not only does it help that customer be more informed and, you know, reduce their anxiety level of buying a car, but it helps you provide that VIP experience when you know, Hassam's got a 2015 Silverado he's trading in and has, he's expecting this much for it. He owes this much on it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's him and another decision maker part of the purchase. Makes it easier to provide that really good level of service. I always kind of compare it to you go to like a really nice hotel and they like look at the reservation and they know and they welcome you and they say, mm-hmm. Hey, Thomas, we're glad you're here.
We see that. You,
yeah. We yeah. see that you stayed with us, a few months ago. Really appreciate you coming back. And we know that you prefer to stay in a higher floor, whatever yeah. it may be. So right. Brian, that it's
customization. Nice. There's some personalization to it. Yeah, that's good. And so, the idea is born, and then how do you take it to an actual, company and tool? Do you say, all right, I've got to find some engineers. I've got to get some developers. I mean, not dive into too much, but I'm just curious how that next evolution of the process went for you.
So for me, it started out just drawing it on. Like computer paper. Yeah. I'm not a coder. I don't have the technical ability, but a buddy from college did.
Awesome.
And actually, so we reconnected and at the time I didn't really know where the legs of it. Right. Mm-hmm. But I knew that it was something that no one else was doing well.
Right.
There was one company, Cox Automotive, had a similar product at the time, but it didn't have a lot of positive feedback from dealers. And I knew that since I was at the dealership level, I knew the things that I could do that were dealer friendly
right.
and also help the customer. So, and my partner in the company, Daniel, Dan and Daniel, I gave him a stack of paper and I said, hey man, can we make this go from paper to,
oh, that's awesome.
To digital?
Yeah,
and he did.
Yeah.
And
so you had your, what you wanted it to accomplish in your mind on paper. And so he translated it to the programming and digital to actual.
Yep.
That's really cool. That's awesome to hear. So Hassam, I'm just curious kind of how you fit into the process and what you do now, if you could talk a little bit about that, please.
Sure. So I give you a quick background, sort of a reader digest of how I came to car business.
Sure.
Late 1980s, my family and I escaped from Iran.
Oh, wow.
We escaped religious persecution.
Wow.
And I was 18 years old, came here and started going to school, and I fell into car business almost as a necessity, mm-hmm. meaning, you're new family here, you don't have a car. We had a friend that had a small car lot, and he said, hey, I'll charge you $50 and I'll take it to auction, and I'll buy you a car. And
yeah.
You can get it for so much cheaper than what you can get one outside. So back then, we paid him the $50. He took us to an auction, and we bought a car for a couple of $1,000. And my dad back then was trying to find a job. Of course, not having the language was difficult for him to do
sure.
that. I was attending the college, and as I realized that the car that we bought, it was older Toyota Corolla of a couple of $1,000, I noticed that car is selling for about $1,000 more in the local paper. Back then, there was no internet, so it was the paper. So we went to Home Depot and bought a large for sale sign for 99 cents and put it on the back window, and that very first night we sold that car for about $1,000 more yeah. than what we bought it.
Yeah. I bet you that was exciting.
I never forget that
yeah.
because I remember that night we sat at the dinner table with my family, my mom and dad and my sister. And I said, this is the American dream.
Yeah.
All we have to do is just sell one car and we can pay our livelihood
yeah.
and that pay for our rent and all the costs.
That's a really cool story. I've tried to learn Farsi a little bit. So I've studied Farsi a little bit. I actually almost got married to an Iranian woman.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, her family's same. In the year I was born, 79, mm-hmm. They escaped from Iran.
Oh, wow.
And moved here to the U.S. as well. So.
Yeah, that's part of life. And I always look at that as part of growing up. It really, truly helped me expedite me getting mature and getting into the business world.
Yeah.
So that was the start of the car business. From
that's,
that point
that's
on,
really cool. It's a great story.
Yeah, it was just, you know, buy a couple more cars and buy a couple, three more cars. And we, you know, got a notice from our apartment complex that says that you cannot run a used car lot in our apartment complex. So we took that as a hint.
Yeah.
And we went and rented a home and we had the freedom with no HOA.
Yeah.
And from that point, rented a small used car lot and grew that to a bigger one and bigger one. And there I am.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And you know, Bob Sullivan, the owner, you know him from like back in the day, I understand, right? And had experiences
with
him.
Probably one of the most joyous memories that I have from my younger days at the auction is back then going to the auction and Mr. Sullivan that has passed, he was there and then Bob and John and the entire family and the Sullivans.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were and they still are our house of automotive wholesale and retail now. So it's wonderful. Yeah. I always look back and I used to go to the auction with my father. Of course, he doesn't attend auctions anymore, but those memories will live on.
That is cool.
I cherish that.
That is cool. Shout out to Bob Sullivan. Yes. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, it's good to hear. And so now, you know, thank you for filling us in a little bit about your background and kind of how you started in the business. So tell me a little bit in our audience about what you do for Auto APR now.
Well, over a year ago, Dan and I met, and because of the vast experience and knowledge that I have in Arizona market with the connections that I have, it was a right fit. I saw what he has worked and what he has created, his baby, and it was truly, for me, it was a decision that I had to join the company. I saw and I believed in what we have.
Yeah.
I always tell Dan, Auto APR is pretty much is like that perfectly created salesperson that's polite, that it's knowledgeable, that does the best for the retail customer to provide them unbelievable service, fast, courteous, and also provides the dealership an unbelievable tool to bring the customer in and make it work.
Yeah. I really
believed in that. And since then, we've been able to promote Auto APR in the West Coast, and we are growing by the minute.
I bet. I mean, yeah, especially with the, you know, explosion of digital retailing and digital in general, I can only imagine you guys are positioning yourself really well. And I know, it, you know, for us internally, Auto APR works phenomenal. To deliver that experience and generates a lot of leads for us and always has.
Well, I want to add to that because, you know, digital retailing is one of the latest words that we hear a lot in automotive business. And Dan and I truly believe that digital retailing is a necessity, but at the same time, we also believe that in today's world, people still do like to be able to touch and see what it is.
Absolutely.
So we bring digital retailing to the customer, to the dealer. We put the two together. Of course, you always have the option to do everything online.
Sure.
But the customer still can pick up or at a dealership, come look at it, and it's great.
It works really well. To add to that, there's one thing that no digital provider can do, and that's replicate the experience that the dealer provides the customer.
Sure.
At the end of the day, your customer is buying from you as the dealer.
Right.
This is the experience they have, and no digital solution can replace that.
Right.
Now, we can aid that, and that's what Auto APR does so well, and our success has been based around is connecting the two and making it easy for the dealer to continue the process. So really what we do is we capture the trust and we pass it to the dealer.
Sure.
And dealers that have, you know, take good care of their customers are ultimately very successful because you have more opportunities with a little bit more, you know, trust from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That makes sense. So maybe talk a little bit if you can. I mean, I know you can't give away any trade secrets or anything like that, but, you know, what's the future look for you guys? What can maybe we expect, you know, upcoming, any updates or anything like that you guys want to talk about or anything?
Yeah, so we're going to continue to innovate the current program. We have some new updates coming to that. Most of our updates within our existing platform are going to just make things faster for the customer. So whether that is collecting a little bit more information if the customer wants a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
So it's kind of streamline the process.
Got it.
To provide a little bit more clarity. We're doing that, but the company as a whole, we're building other products, we're building other solutions. So AutoAPR was really, you know, that's our benchmark. AutoAPR is a company that the products, a lot of times our product is referred to as AutoAPR. Our payment engagement solution, which we call Reveal and Payment Explorer. So Reveal is our vehicle specific engagement. Explorer is allows a customer to shop your inventory based off of payment. So those are payment engagement solutions. We will be having very similar, we have similar philosophies on other programs that are coming for other engagement. So moving that engagement to other things in addition to payment, but in the same way. So if you think about what makes, you know, we're obviously not the only solution that generates payments, right? There's, you know, in fact, we are, I would almost say, a light digital retailing solution, okay? So, but what we see in the market and the feedback that we get from our dealers, there are companies and there are programs providing solutions for problems, but they're not necessarily addressing the true problem, okay? So they're masking it. They're trying to make something efficient that's inefficient, but it's not there yet, right?
Yeah.
So we've done a really good job with the solution that we have now to take, for example, you know, your typical digital retailing tool that could be clunky, could take a long time. You know, a customer doing it from a smartphone, it might not be the best experience or take too long.
Right.
Right. And we've simplified it, right? So we'll be taking that same approach to other engagements.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really good to hear. And I'm glad you kind of brought that up. I mean, you know, us internally, we're always looking to test new things and try things. And I mean, that's one of my, you know, jobs I was brought here to do. You know, sometimes that always doesn't work out. And I think, you know, after digging into the data and looking at the tool and the customer experience, one of the things that you guys do really, really well is something that, you know, you just kind of touched on a little bit, is the ease of it for the customers, as well as the speed and efficiency on mobile. You know, we have high quality mobile traffic, around 90%, you know, starts off in mobile traffic. And that's, you know, one reason we found it converts really well and is a great, you know, consumer experience for our customers and potential customers is because of that ease of mobile use.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, and mobile's always been our focus from the beginning. When we built even the first version, I remember, you know, we were testing it on different smartphones and stuff. Like, you know, we had some iterations early on that were like so much better on mobile than desktop. Like, okay, we got to still make desktop good, even though we know that majority of people are going to be mobile. So we've always thought mobile first. And that's and that also kind of you know, touches on where we're going with other solutions. So if you think about it this way, there's other solutions that dealerships have on their website that don't move over to mobile very well.
Right.
Another area that we're moving into is, okay, how are we talking to our customer, right? Mm-hmm. Because customers, if you think about how much you use your phone, a lot of it, you're not actually on it. Not holding it to your ear and talking, you're texting, your email, and
voice, you know, activated. That's a big thing for us.
Yeah. So you know, but it's people are multitasking, right? That's why, you know, fast is good, because sure, they might be using our solution to calculate a payment on one of your vehicles, but they're also doing something else, right? So everything that we're doing in the future is really, really mobile focused.
That's cool. Yeah, one thing I've kind of been obsessed with is, you know, giving customers, or even if it's something that I'm just using on my own, I want something that, because we talk about, you know, bridging that gap, that the human interaction at the dealership is always, you know, what we want are the best. But, you know, finding that tool that a salesman can also utilize to walk through that process with someone, which is important, which I think you guys can do as well. So you kind of have that hybrid of that interaction with the dealership, but, you know, they can walk them through the retail solution as well.
It's really the best of both worlds.
Right.
It provides the best of both worlds for the customer first in mind. I know that's what Trucks Only believes in, customers first, and of course the dealer.
So. For sure. Well, listen, guys, we really, really appreciate you coming on the podcast. And, you know, we look forward to partnering with you guys in the future. You know, don't hesitate to have us as a guinea pig for any upcoming iterations or what. I'm really into that. So
we're planning on it.
Yeah, 2021 is a big development year for us. We have a big push on a couple projects. So you'll be seeing some things come out.
Yeah.
Pretty
awesome.
Hopefully pretty soon.
Yeah. I know how the dev process works. So, but yeah, we're always open to it. And again, we appreciate you guys. taking your time and coming in, and we look forward to continuing the partnership. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
All right, thank you.